My name is Oliver. I am a 26-year-old, and I'm on a road trip with my twin brothers Kevin and Mason, who will be graduating from high school this year. Our parents wanted me to take Kevin and Mason on college tours every break they got from school. We live in Ohio, but my mom wanted me to take the boys all the way to Cambridge, Massachusetts to tour Harvard University. She doesn't like the idea of her baby boys going so far away to college, but she loves the idea of her two sons becoming lawyers together. Kevin and Mason have their own ideas of what they want to do, but we're willing to tour Harvard for mom's sake. It was late at night as we were driving through the state of Massachusetts. I had been driving for nearly 24 hours straight, and I was tired. I wanted to stay ahead of schedule so we could take our time. I had a hotel room booked and plugged the address into my GPS. "Are we there yet?" muttered Mason sleepily in the back seat. "I'm starving," Kevin groaned from the front seat. "On our way to the hotel now," I said. "Can we stop for food?" asked Kevin. "Yeah, I'll find someplace," I told them. I entered the route to the hotel and typed "food near me" on the GPS map. It led us down some highway called Route 44 in Rehoboth. The highway was dark and deserted, but this was the quickest route to a McDonald's, and I was starving too. Maybe some food would wake me up enough to get to the hotel. I continued down the long dark road, fighting sleep. I cracked open a window to let the cold autumn air in to keep myself alert. I had never fought sleep harder in my life, but I was determined to get my brothers some food. "Who's that?" Kevin asked. "Who?" I replied. "That dude out there." Kevin pointed down the road where we saw the silhouette of a man. As I drove closer, we saw a man with red hair and a full beard dressed in a flannel shirt and jeans. He looked dirty, as though he lived out in the woods surrounding the highway. "Think he needs help?" Mason asked. "Dude is creepy." "I say we keep driving," Kevin replied. "It's just creepy because it's late at night. Maybe he does need help," I said as I pulled up to the man. Kevin leaned over toward me as I rolled down his window. "Everything okay, sir?" I asked. The man just stared at us. His eyes were black, and he had an eerie grin stretched across his face. His teeth were yellow with black gunk in between them. I waited for him to speak up, but he said nothing. "Sir, is there something you need?" I asked. He reached up and placed his hand on the windowsill, and Kevin leaned further toward me. The man said nothing. He just continued to stare at us with that unnatural grin on his face. "Oliver, can we please go?" Kevin asked in a shaky voice. "This dude's creeping me out," Mason said from the back seat. "Listen, I would love to help if there's something you need, but if you don't tell me, I'm going to have to leave," I told the man. His eyes met mine, and I had a sense of dread come over me. I couldn't tell if I was hallucinating from being so tired, or if something was really wrong. He finally spoke. "I'm wanting to go get some food. Can you take me?" His voice was low, and something about it shot a chill down my spine. I looked back at Mason, who was shaking his head adamantly. Kevin shook his head too. If the man wanted to eat, we could take him. If traveling for my job on the road has taught me anything, it's keep a firearm with you. I happened to have one tucked under my seat. Not even Kevin or Mason knew about it. "Kevin, get in the back seat," I said.
"Are you crazy? You're giving him a ride?" he protested.
"According to the GPS, we're only 10 minutes away from the McDonald's. What's the harm in taking him for a bite to eat?" I said. Both boys protested, but Kevin crawled into the back next to Mason, and the stranger got into the front seat. I reached down, pretending to adjust my seat, but grabbed the gun I kept under it and placed it under my thigh. The stranger put his seatbelt on. "Thank you," he said with a smile that continued to send chills down my spine. "I know what you're thinking. I should have driven off. But sometimes people do crazy things when they're hungry, and that's what I told myself. Plus, I was prepared in case this dude tried anything smart." I kept my eyes on the road ahead and my leg pressed against the seat, holding my pistol there. The entire time I drove, the man just stared at us. His black eyes would go from me to the boys in the back and back to me. He then set his eyes on me, and I was so scared at this point that I finally pulled over and whipped out my gun, pointing it straight at him. He still continued to stare at me with those black, lifeless eyes. "I need you to get out of the car," I said as I took the safety off. Kevin and Mason gasped from the back seat. They seemed more shocked to see the gun than the stranger. In fact, He looked flat out amused. My hands shook as he grabbed my hand that held the gun. He unhinged his jaw wide and shoved the gun barrel in his mouth and pulled the trigger. We all screamed as brains and blood splattered everywhere. I sped down the road as fast as I could, all of us freaking out, when suddenly, he vanished into thin air. None of us could explain what happened that night. But after we got to our hotel, we spent the night and drove home without looking back. I did some research when I got home and found out the man we came across was a ghost that many have seen before. He's known as the redhead in a flannel shirt ghost on Route 44 that smiles eerily at passing cars. I will never drive on Route 44 ever again. My name is George. I'm 48 years old, and I drive a truck for a living. I have a wonderful wife, three boys, and two girls at home. Max is my youngest son, and he just turned 12. He's really been excited as it's our tradition in our family that I take my kids on the truck for summer break when they turn 12.
Dad, where are we going?
Max asked enthusiastically. We're starting on Route 491. I'm the only trucker willing to go through it, so my boss gives me the job. He even pays extra, which allows your mom to book that annual trip to Disneyland, I replied.
Why are you the only trucker that goes there, though?
Because I work with a bunch of sissies, I joked. Max laughed.
No, really, Dad. Are you the only one who drives on it?
My coworkers are highly superstitious. The highway is formerly known as Highway 666, but they had to rename it as that is the devil's number. It's said to be the devil's highway. Strange occurrences have been known to happen to people who travel this highway.
Doesn't that scare you?
I shook my head. Nah, been doing this route for years and nothing's happened to your old man. It's just a bunch of tales to scare people.
We aren't going to see any ghosts, are we?
Max asked wearily. I chuckled softly. Son, I told you, ghosts don't exist. People die and they simply go to heaven or hell. Max nodded, and we turned on some clean comedy radio to listen as I drove. We spent the day driving Route 491 without a care in the world. As late afternoon set in, I started heading toward a truck stop I frequent when I take this road. Everything seemed fine until I hit a massive pothole, and suddenly, sparks came flying out of all the tires. I tapped the brakes on my truck, bringing us to a slow stop. I managed to ease off the road so I could get out and investigate what was happening. I told Max to sit in the truck while I look around. When I got out, I was shocked to see all my tires had been blown and were shredded.
What the fuck?
I gasped as I looked around. I shook my head in disbelief and got back into the truck to call my boss. I told him what happened and he said he would send assistance out my way, but they wouldn't be there until morning. Shit. I didn't want to think about being on this road at night as it does give me the creeps. But I didn't want to tell Max that. I had some sandwiches in a cooler that we had for dinner and some sodas. I opted for beer to keep my cool for Max.
Dad, I have to go pee,
Max said. I checked the time and it was around 3 a.m. and we had been in and out of sleep.
Okay, let's go.
I grabbed a flashlight, took Max outside. We went around the side of the truck. It was dark and quiet out. Not even the stars or moon lit up the sky. I stood behind Max, keeping an eye on our surroundings as he did his business. As I looked out at the empty land in front of me, I heard footsteps coming towards us. I didn't want to alarm Max, so I took a deep breath.
You almost done, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay, it's dangerous out, so let's get back in the truck.
The footsteps got closer, and I shined the light out, but I couldn't see anything. All of a sudden, whatever was walking around began to run straight for us. I could see a dark shadow outside the light.
Daddy, what is that?
Max asked in a shaky voice.
Just get in the truck,
I told him as I opened the door. I ushered Max inside and saw something crawling at an unnatural speed towards us. I slammed the door shut.
What's out there?
Max asked.
I don't know,
I said in a shaky voice. Suddenly, there were banging sounds coming from all angles of the truck. They were loud and it shook us. I listened close
and it almost had a rhythm to it. I looked up, and there was a fire-red semi-truck headed our way. It was driving at an unnatural speed. It moved off to the side of the road and came face to face with us. The truck wasn't stopping. I turned on my high beams in an attempt to blind the driver. Instead, I saw a beast with horns driving the truck. He looked menacing as he stared right at me and drove faster. The truck vanished into thin air just before it collided with my truck, and I'm not ashamed to say, I shit my pants. The next morning, I was talking to the service guys about it, and they said, those who are on the highway at night tend to see a red truck that heads straight for them. I quit my job that day and started my own business, never driving that highway ever again.
I've always enjoyed driving at night. The longer the drive, the better. When most find boredom and fear of dozing off behind the wheel, I find a peaceful, soothing, and traffic-free drive. But nighttime and road exclusivity also create strange scenarios and supernatural occurrences. To this day, I swear what happened that October night was real, though no one has ever believed me. The night was clear and full of stars. I was driving east on Highway 60 heading to Phoenix, Arizona. It was 2 in the morning, and I sat in silence, one hand on the steering wheel, the other on the edge of the open window, allowing the breeze to run through my fingers. I droned forward almost hypnotized by the New Mexico sky full of stars, when something caught my attention. A man stood on the side of the road. One hand was waved over his face, shielding his eyes from my incoming headlights. The other waved at me, gesturing to stop. He was dressed in hiking clothes, cap over his head and backpack mounted. He looked like a regular guy down on his luck. "Need a ride?" I asked, coming to a stop. He stared mindlessly at me and nodded. "Where to?" But instead of answering me, he began gathering his things and walking to my car. For a second, I wanted to retract my invitation, but pity got the best of me. He entered and sat in silence. We drove. Every few seconds, I'd eye him through my rearview window. He sat back perfectly straight, with his hands on his lap. He didn't blink. His face didn't change. He stared forward. After a few miles, I repeated my question. "So, how far are you going, friend?" He finally responded. "They're here," he said in a soft and mellow tone. "Who's here?" I questioned. Silence. "Friend, are you all right?" I insisted. "They're here," he repeated, though this time a smirk cracked his lips. He raised one hand and pointed directly into the darkness ahead. I didn't insist. I decided I had given him enough opportunities. At the next available stop, he'd have to go. We sat and drove in silence, though the smirk never left his face. 5 minutes passed, 10 minutes passed, 15 minutes passed, complete silence. 30 minutes later, he broke his silence. "Stop!" he shrieked, making me jerk around my seat. I slowed down, but he insisted I make a complete stop. "Stop!" he said, this time in a deeper and rough tone, polar opposite to his initial tone. His hand elevated again, finger pointing outward. "They're here." This time, his hand wasn't pointed forward. It was pointed to the left side of the road towards a large field with short, patchy hills and sand dunes. We were in the middle of the desert with no signs of life or civilization. I slowed the car further. His hand maintained its pointing position. At this point, I concluded this guy is crazy or is playing an odd prank, but I wanted no part of it. I looked in the direction his finger pointed and decided that if he wants to walk towards the desert, he was welcome to do so. Just then, I noticed something peculiar. Just above a large sand dune, 5 lights flickered. I had initially confused these with stars, but they were much brighter, red, and were rotating in circular motion. The lights, elevated above the dune, began to descend approaching my car. I winced, trying to make out what I was seeing. My stomach dropped. Descending from the sky was a floating sphere. The flickering lights floated around the sphere, not different than moons orbiting a planet. The sphere was about 25 feet in diameter, and as it approached, the rotating lights slowed. The man exited the car and repeated once more, "They're here." This time his tone was relaxed and welcoming. The spherical vessel landed in the sand, causing a puff of sand to rise. The circling lights dimmed and slowed their rotation. The man began walking in that direction, leaving the solid street surface and moving on to the unsteady soft sand. I looked around, trying to find another living soul that was witnessing this occurrence. There was nobody around as far as my eyes could see. When my eyes returned to the sphere, two figures now stood beside it, one step forward welcoming the approaching man. They both stood towering over him, with a height well over 8 feet tall. They were unnaturally slender, with arms that reached below their knees. Their arms and legs were thin and fluid, not different than that of flatted water hoses. They had long necks and small heads. They wore long white robes that hid their nakedness. Their noses, or lack thereof, were two thin slits, as were their mouths. Their eyes were enormous black holes, taking up the majority of their faces, similar to that of Tarsiers. One of the two humanoids embraced my recent passenger. The other raised a hand and pointed at me. In full panic, I ran back to my car, fumbling my keys. As I entered my car, I noticed the sphere began to elevate. Its five lights began to rotate and flicker. I floored the gas pedal and skidded my way back onto the highway. In my rearview mirror, the sphere and orbs followed me, floating effortlessly through the calm New Mexico sky. My car resisted as I tried to accelerate past its limit, but the orb sped up effortlessly and began descending towards my car's roof. Suddenly, a bright light illuminated in the sky, as if a camera flash of global proportions had gone off. For a few seconds, night became day. My eyes failed to adjust to the drastic flash, and I became entirely blinded. I slammed on the brakes and pulled over. There was just white. There was just silence. I don't know how much time passed, a day, a week, a year. When I regained consciousness, I was driving on the exact road at the exact same speed in the middle of the night. It was as if absolutely nothing had happened, but when I brushed my hand through my head, I noticed my hair was significantly longer, my beard was bushier and thicker, my fingernails were uncharacteristically long. I pulled over, got out of the car, and began examining my clothes, car, and belongings. Everything was as it had been. It has been years since the night I picked up the hitchhiker off Highway 60, and I'm still not sure what transpired that night or for how long. I've told this story to friends and family, though it's always dismissed as hallucinations induced by sleep deprivation, but I know they're wrong. I don't drive at night anymore, and I definitely don't pick up strangers on the side of the road, but sometimes I still hear those two words, "They're here," haunting my dreams.